go ahead. You can say chow chow right back to her. Go ahead. Chow chow. Because, you know, every time she does it, I'm like, chow chow. There's a whole Latinx contingency over here. Because when she said la noche buena, everybody was like, ah! Over here, there was a Holy Ghost movement from our Latin community. If you're watching online, bienvenidos. It's glad to have you today, and it's so good to be with you to worship the Lord. And Pastor Dan this weekend was with One Focus family doing a conference along with Pastor Joel and Pastor Manuela. And so today I have the privilege to bring the Word of God to you, and Pastor will be back next week, and I just want to greet those who are watching online. We're always so glad to see you guys. Today's message is called The Way of Life and Health. Go ahead and say that. The Way of Life and Health. And our key passage is going to be out of Proverbs, or our text is out of Proverbs 4, 20 through 27. And I want to open with just simply reading that passage, and then we're going to jump into the Word of God. My son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and healing to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. Put away from you crooked speech and put devious talk far from you. Let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet, then all your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil. Will you pray with me? Father, I just thank you for your word. I thank you that it is living. And I thank you that today, Lord, you want to bring revelation to each one of us. Lord, I pray that we would have ears to hear, minds to understand, and a heart to receive the truth of your word and a desire to be transformed by it. So come, Holy Spirit, do what only you can do. Meet us in this space. In Jesus' mighty name, if you agree, would you say amen with me? Amen. Well, as I was preparing for this message, I just kept sensing that there was such a weariness in the body of Christ. And some of you might be being like, hallelujah, amen. There's a weariness, not of necessarily body, but of soul and of spirit. And I believe that the Lord simply wants to encourage the church to remind you that there is a way of life and health that belongs uniquely to those who call Jesus Christ Lord, who know God the Father and are empowered by the Holy Spirit. You know, I have a fountain at my house, and it's not in my house, although that would be really fun. If you have a fountain in your house, don't tell me about it because I'll be a little jealous about it. But I have a fountain at my house, and it's in my backyard-ish. I have a little patio, and there is a pond, which is really a drainage pond, but we don't tell anybody about that. It's a little pond, and there's a fountain that shoots right out of it. Anybody else? Okay, never mind. And I love that little pond. I love that fountain. The fountain has this sound that is so peaceful to me. And if I've had a long day and it's nice out, I go sit outside and I just, sometimes there's a little rainbow that forms through the fountain. Yes. If you follow me on social media, I often take pictures of the fountain because I love this little fountain. And at night, I can hear it from my bedroom. When I walk around the house, I can hear it. And there's such a flow and there's such a peace that it brings. But every so often, the fountain will stop working. And I don't always recognize that it has stopped working until a couple of days in. But I do notice that something isn't right. I do can tell, like, there's a sound missing, there's a feel missing, there's a vibe missing. But sometimes it'll take me a day or two to recognize that, oh, my fountain isn't working. You better know I call everybody and their mama to find out how we can fix this little fountain. Until it's fixed and it's restored. How many times in our own life is there a fountain of our own hearts and souls and spirits that are flowing and all of a sudden it gets topped up? And sometimes we can go a little while without recognizing that it's not flowing the way that it's supposed to. And I feel like the Lord is simply saying there's a weariness in the body of Christ because the body of Christ, the church, we have chosen to look for our source of life, our life flow from different places other than the fountain of life that springs up from our bellies. Psalm 36 and 8 says this. It says, I'll read verse 8 and 9. They feast on the abundance of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your delights. Verse 9 says, for with you is the fountain of life. Go ahead and say that. Fountain of life. In your light do we see light. Oh, continue your steadfast love to those who know you and your righteousness to the upright of heart. God himself is identified as a fountain of life, a source of life that you and I have full access to. And it brings restoration. It brings life. It brings healing. And there is a way to maintain that. Oh, I love that this analogy of living water doesn't stop with God the Father. It continues on with Jesus the Son, who is the living water. And he goes to the woman at the well who works hard every day to try to sustain herself. And he says to her, oh, daughter, if you knew who you were talking to, you would ask of my water and you would never be thirsty again. And then John 7 says this of the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, oh, be glad that I'm going to the Father because I'm leaving the Spirit with you. And those who know the Holy Spirit, there will be rivers of living water that will flow from your inner being. This is intended to be the life of those who are hidden in God, hidden in Christ Jesus, and empowered by the Holy Spirit. But we get weary sometimes. And sometimes the flow of that fountain gets a little muted because of life. And today the Lord wants to remind you, he hasn't stopped flowing. He just needs you to come right back to the river. He hasn't stopped giving life. He says, I just want you to come a little bit closer to me in this season because I want to restore you. One of my favorite little parts of a verse of a chapter is Psalm 23, where the good shepherd restores our soul. And I love it. He does it by leading us beside what? Still waters. Listen, there is a life and a health that God wants to come out of the inside of us that is absolutely independent of everything that happens on the outside of us. Today, I believe he wants us to recenter our focus on where the source of life comes from, our source of health comes from, so that we can walk in the fullness of what we're intended to. I get the chance to lead a small group of young women, and we're talking about identity and destiny and purpose. And oftentimes we think of that as a destiny. Today I want to declare that it's a source, because when you know God and he is a life source to you and there is a flow that comes out of you, your identity starts there. Your purpose begins there. Your destiny starts at that place of the overflow. It's not something you're chasing after. It's something you're abiding in. And today, I just want us to be reminded and be encouraged in this season where weariness might be setting in. Oh, the world needs a church that knows her source. The world needs a church that knows that there is life and life more abundantly. John 10:10 says, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus says, I have come that you might have a little bit of life sometimes in the morning when you wake up, and then it's gone. No. It says that you might have life. If you don't know this, I'm going to give you a new word. And have it more abundantly. Go ahead and write more abundantly right there on your Facebook feed or in the chat right now. Because that's the kind of life, the flow of life that a fountain gives you. It's more abundant life. And let me tell you what that does not mean. It doesn't mean that you have more money. It doesn't mean that you get a promotion in your job. It doesn't always mean that you have all the friends in the world. But what it does mean is you wake up in the morning with peace that passes all understanding. What it does mean is you have joy unspeakable and full of glory. What it does mean is that you can go to bed at night knowing that your heart is at rest because your future is secure no matter what happens all around you. That's what life more abundantly means, and it is being tested right now in this season. And I see people going, I don't know where my life source is. And today I just want to say it is found in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And if you'll drink deep of that, you will not be shaken, even when everything else is shaken. Oh, today, church, we have what the world needs. But would we come right back to that source in this season? In this season. That's why I love Proverbs chapter 4. It's a father talking to a son, and I believe it's our father speaking to sons and daughters about how to maintain the way of life and health, how to maintain that flow of life that so often gets depleted by the world. And I know as I was preparing for this, I had to come before the Lord at every point. There's five of them. And every time I'd be like, oh, Jesus, forgive me. I'm sorry. And then I get it together. And I'm like, ooh, I feel my fountain coming back. And then I get to the second point. I'm like, oh, God, forgive me. And I'm, ooh, all right, I'm going to clean that up. And there's a little bit more life being restored. And this is what happened to me the whole time. And I pray that this happens to you, not just today, but throughout this week as you review this word. And when you begin to feel weary, not from the outside, but from the inside. Sometimes you ever feel tired from the inside out? I say this. I said this to my husband. I said, I feel tired on the inside. But I believe that this is part of the remedy of making sure that my insides feel alive, even when my outsides feel a little pressed. This is why I think Paul says we are pressed on all sides. But, I love the word but. That doesn't mean anything changes on the inside. Because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. All right, I digress. So let's go to Proverbs chapter 4. And there are five things that I believe will help us maintain or restore the way of life and health in a weary season. And to allow the life flow of the rivers of living water to come forth from your own life. The first one is out of verse 20 of chapter 4 of Proverbs 4. The way of life and health is to attend to God's word. Verse 20 and 22 says this, my son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and healing to all their flesh. I love the father thinks this is so serious that he doesn't just say, listen, he says, I want you to look at me. I want you to give me your full undivided attention. Parents, how many know that if your kid is playing and you're talking, you know they haven't heard you. So you got to say, I need all of you right here. This is how I see God saying, like, Tina, I need all of you right here. And I'm like, yes, sir. Yes, I got it. Because this is how life and health can be restored and come in abundance to your life. Oh, would we come running to the Father when he calls us and he says, be attentive. He says, attend to God's word. Incline our ear. Don't let it escape from our sight. Because it's like medicine. I love that word. Healing to their flesh. It's like medicine to our souls. And life to our bodies. I know we hear about the word of God all the time and we're kind of like, oh yeah, it's just one of those Christian things. But I need to let you know that this thing here changes everything. It is the source of life. And I feel like in this day, we've been using this as a sword against each other instead of a tool to make us more like Jesus. You notice that? Somebody's like, oh yeah, well, here's my word. Gotcha. And then somebody's like, oh no, but I got a word against you. And we're using the word of God to battle one another. And I believe that the enemy loves that. But what the Lord is saying, will you turn the attention of that word to your own heart and let it cut away those things that don't look like Jesus? What if we use this corporately as a weapon against the enemy to say there is nothing you can do to divide us? Instead, you thought you had it over Jesus. Well, not only did Jesus rise again, but he is living in me. And now you got to defeat a whole lot of Jesuses up in this space. Because the word is transforming me into his image. That's the purpose of the word of God. It's to make us more like the Son. It's to make us more like Jesus. Not to prove our points. And not to give us permission to do the things that we want to do. It is to make us more like Jesus. Oh, Lord, would you do it? Psalm 119 and 9 says, how can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. And I learned verse 11 when I was a little girl. I have hidden or stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. The word of God is intended so that it maintains the life flow out of me in my relationship with God himself. Today, would the word of God replenish you? Would it give you life and life more abundantly? Be attentive to his word. Secondly, the Father speaks to the Son and he says, don't just be attentive to my word, but I'm going to need you to also guard your heart. Verse 23 says, keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. Go ahead and say springs of life. Here's another reference of something that is flowing. Oftentimes we get stopped up and we don't know how to get it restarted. Well, let me encourage you to check your heart. Get your heart pure and then guard it. Where is the heart we're speaking of? It's our inner man, our will, our mind, our understanding, our emotions, our passions. Anybody notice that people are real passionate these days? We are supposed to guard our passions, guard those things that want to drive us. Because everything that comes out of our hearts is not necessarily from the Lord. Jeremiah 17 and 9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick or wicked. Who can understand it? The word guard in the Hebrew of this passage actually means guard it like a prison. Be careful of what comes into your heart so that what comes out of you looks like Jesus and not like something else. Here's the thing. The word of God says in the New Testament, Luke 6 and 45, it says, the good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the flow of the heart, the overflow of the heart, his mouth speaks. Don't kid yourself that if you say something, you can't say it's not in my heart. Because your heart, your mouth cannot say what is not in your heart. What we put in is going to come out, which is why the Lord, the Father, is encouraging the Son, guard your heart, protect it. Sometimes people are like, well, that's just too serious. It's not serious enough. Guard your heart, for it's the wellspring of life. You want life more abundantly? Guard your heart. And I'm a little obsessed right now with the British baking show. I hear some giggles. If you're watching online and you watch it, go ahead and give me an eye. You got it? I watch the British. There's a lot of crazy stuff on TV, so this is kind of benign, right? They're baking things. I can't bake things, so I get very excited. And then I watch it. I'm like, I so could bake that. But then I realize, no, I really can't. But I still watch it, and it's really a lot of fun. Anyways, the British baking show, it's a competition. If you've never seen it, it's really brilliant, and everybody has an accent, which makes it a whole lot better. And at the end of every show, there is a final bake-off called the Showstopper. And the Showstopper is the thing that's supposed to convince the judges that you don't go home, you get to stay. And so, of course, everybody has their ingredients, and they're whipping up this most spectacular Showstopper. And this one lady on one episode, she had all her stuff out, and she had a bottle of mulled cider, a chunk of Stilton cheese, which is like blue cheese, stinky cheese, and chocolate. This is what she had. And she's putting it all together. And while she's doing it together, the judges come to her table, and they always kind of interrogate you and make you feel nervous. And the judges were coming, and they said, what are you putting in your cake? And she's like, oh, this and this and this. And they were like, gave her a side eye. And the judge actually asked her, is this going to be good? Oh, yeah, it's going to be good. Have you done this before? Oh, yeah, it's going to be amazing. And they were like, okay, you do you. They walked away. Competition's over. Now they got to bring their offerings to the judges. And so they taste all the things, and they eat all the cakes and try all the stuff. And this lady brings up her cake. Now, her cake, it's surrounded by chocolate. Listen, the devil will use some chocolate to hide some scary stuff. That's a whole sermon all by itself. But it's surrounded by chocolate, and it looks real pretty. She puts it up at the place, and the judge cuts through it, and it's moist. is so moist and it's chocolatey. And they're like, ooh, I didn't do that right, Pastor Jeremy. Ooh. Y'all heard that. It's all I got, guys. It's all I got. And they take a bite of the cake, and the judge literally turns his head to the side because it tastes horrible. It tastes just like you would think mulled cider, stinky cheese, and chocolate would taste like. And they look at her and said, this isn't good. And she is shocked. She's like, what? But how many times do we do that before the Lord? We put all kinds of stuff on the inside of us, and now we can't figure out what comes out. Doesn't look right. Doesn't taste right. Doesn't smell right. Doesn't act right. Doesn't feel right. Because we haven't tended to the ingredients that are going on the inside. It's not enough to coat it with chocolate. We have to guard our hearts from what goes in it. And I don't care what that means. If you got to stop talking to some people, guard your heart. If you got to stop reading some things, guard your heart. Your life depends on it. Your health depends on it. Your mental health, your spiritual health, your emotional health. Guard your heart. Listen, God isn't up in heaven going, do it for me. He's saying, do it for you. He loves you so much. He wants you to walk in life. Sometimes we're like, well, God just wants us to do it so he can. No. He doesn't want to see his people suffer, and we suffer needlessly because we don't guard our hearts. What comes in is going to come out. Oh, would we guard that which God has given to us, the wellspring of life. Be attentive to his word. Guard your heart. The third thing the Father says to the Son is restrain your speech. Ooh. Verse 24, and put away from you crooked speech and put devious talk far from you. At Deep Creek, somebody said, help me, Lord. And I feel like David said the same thing in Psalm 141:3. He said, help me, Lord. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Listen, we can't do this by ourselves. Isn't it good to know we have the life source with us always helping us? David had to ask for help. Listen, I need a restraint. Right now, everybody feels like everything they think they should say. The word of God does not encourage this behavior. It actually says, put a guard over your mouth. Be slow to speak. It also means be slow to text, slow to type, slow to video. Go ahead and apply it to your context, but be slow and restrain your speech. And it should be the most obvious in the church. Jesus was a lamb that was brought to a slaughter, and he didn't say a whole lot because he knew his source. He wasn't worried about trying to make his point. He lived his point. He lived his life out of the overflow. He only did what the Father said, do. I only say what the Father says to say. Do we have that safeguard? Oh, set a guard, set a guard. You know what? This isn't just about what we say to others, but also what we say to ourselves and what we speak about our circumstances and our situations. Listen, if there's power in the tongue of God to create heaven and earth with the power of his words, there's power in your tongue too because you're made in his image. If there's power of going from death to life by simply saying, I confess Jesus is Lord, there is power in the words that you speak. And we often speak death over things that God wants the flow of life to happen in health. You know, I talk to myself all the time out loud. Bless the Lord. And sometimes at home, I'll just be talking and saying, I shouldn't admit this, but I do. I'll be saying stuff, and sometimes I'm not very kind to myself. I'll be frustrated with myself. I'll be annoyed that I didn't do something, or I didn't like something that I'm just not meeting my own standards or whatever. And I start to say things about myself. And every so often, my beautiful husband will hear, and he'll stop, and he'll say, I'm going to need you to stop saying those things about the person I love. And I hear the Father saying that to you and I. He said, I'm going to need you to stop speaking those lies over the people I love. I'm going to need you to stop saying those lies over my son and over my daughters. And we are the worst culprits often. He says, I want to speak life over you. Guard your speech. Guard, restrain your speech. Ask Jesus to put a guard. I got to tell this story because it just makes me giggle. Just in case you think that this is like, you know, big speech. It's all the speech. So my husband and I, yesterday, it was Saturday, and we went to the gym, and I was making breakfast before he went to work, and I had to go take care of getting ready for this weekend and all kinds of stuff. And so I made breakfast, and I whipped up some eggs, and I took care of, all, you know, whatever, and I put the plate of eggs in front of him, and he starts eating it, and we're chatting, and I'm cleaning up, and he's just eating the eggs. Now, before I continue my story, I'm going to go back. You know how TV shows go 15 days earlier? That's what we're going to do. 15 days earlier or 14 years earlier. One thing I have learned about my husband and a conversation we have on the regular is that he likes a lot of salt. And by a lot, I mean a whole lot. Like, I oftentimes, I'm like, did you just want to lick this? Because apparently you have lost all your taste buds and you just need to eat the salt. And so I have taken every so often to calling him a salt lick. Like, yes, because this don't need no salt, and you always gotta put extra salt on everything. Now we're back at Saturday. Here we are. So he's eating his eggs, and I'm cleaning up and stuff. I hadn't eaten mine yet. So I grab my plate, I go to sit down, I start to eat, and I was like, I said, this needs salt. Honey, did you need salt on yours? And he's eating literally like this. He looks up. Do you think it needs salt? I'm like, yeah, this really needs salt. Don't you think it needs? He's like, well, I thought it needed salt. But see, I weighed whether it was worth it to say that I needed salt and to risk being called a salt lick or just eat the eggs that were put in front of me. And I decided to go ahead and eat the eggs. Two lessons I learned. Number one, my husband has learned how to restrain his speech, and his wife needs to work on it. We practice in the small ways, don't we? Listen, how we speak, you practice it. We practice it. Practice makes perfect. What you want to continue to say, you better rehearse. Those things you don't want to say, you better restrain. Because what you say will be exactly what you keep on saying, and what your kids will say, and what the people around you will say. Practice makes perfect. So if you want your speech to be restrained, ask the Lord and practice that very thing. Attend to his word. Guard our hearts, because the wellspring of life is at stake. Let's restrain our speech so that we don't rob life, but we speak life. And number four, focus our gaze. The Father says to the Son, let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you. Oftentimes we get distracted because we start looking at everything but the face of Jesus. Pastor Jeremy at Kempsville says this all the time. And so it is the word of God. So I'm technically quoting scripture, but you know, I'll give him some credit for it. Psalm 27, David says, this one thing I ask, this one thing I desire, that I would dwell in the house of the Lord forever, all it is, and I would behold, I would gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. Because the reality is, we become like what we gaze at. We become like what we look at. What we allow to influence our eyes shapes what happens on the inside. And so I believe the Father was simply saying to his son, listen, don't get distracted. There are so many things around you. Set your gaze firmly on the things of God. Set your gaze on Jesus so you don't get distracted. Matthew 6 and 22 says, the eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. The word healthy in the Greek in this situation is actually single. So if your eye is single focused, single looking and not divided, your whole body will be full of light. You know, I just started wearing reading glasses, Jesus bless me. And this is becoming truth, because when I put on, if I'm trying to read without the glasses, everything is squiggly. And there is no life in that at all. Right? I can't see. I put the glasses on. I'm like, ooh, look what I can see. But then I look up and I can't see anything again because everybody is squiggly. So I have to pick either the words are squiggly or the people are squiggly. So I just do my font in like 700 so that I could see this and you. Because there's nothing worse than blurred vision, than divided vision. And Matthew 6 ends that portion with saying this, no man can serve two masters. Don't think that you can have your gaze set on God, but also want everybody else to take care of business for him. Set your eyes on things above, where rust or moth do not destroy. See, the world is always going to give us more than we can handle. If we look around, we'll get distracted. And if we look for our identity, our purpose, our destiny in anything else but the source of life, we'll find sources. They're just not going to be life-giving. Today, I wonder if the Lord is inviting us to guard what we watch, what we read, what we're seeing. And in this day and age, I think it's super relevant, super important to guard your eye gate, because it affects who you are on the inside, and it will rob your peace. That's a buzzword right now. Keep your peace. Guard your peace. Listen, if what you're watching and what you're reading is stealing your peace, shut it down. You know what's going to give you peace every time? Right here. Gaze upon Jesus. Get into a place of worship. Read his word. Get around brothers and sisters that know what he looks like. Focus your gaze. And finally, this is where I get a little teachy because I got to rehearse everything, right? Attend to his word. Guard your heart. I forgot the number three. What was it? Anybody remember? Y'all are awesome. I didn't forget. I was just checking to see if you knew. Mm-hmm. Restrain your speech. Focus your gaze. And finally, watch your steps. The final verses in that passage, verse 26 and 27. Ponder the path of your feet. Then all your ways will be sure. Can we just stop that? All your ways would be sure. I don't know about you, but we could use some sure footing right about now. Ponder the path of your feet, then all your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Again, speaking about that single focus. Listen, if you're looking that way, you can't walk that way. Where you look, you're going to walk. Where your eyes gaze is where your feet are going to go. Turn your foot away from evil. I love the Lord doesn't just leave us to figuring out the path herself. Psalm 119 and 105 says that his word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. You don't know where to go, get into his word and it'll begin to light the way before you. Light the way before you. And this is in a physical way. This is a heart way, a thinking way, an emotional way. And it isn't just about your destination that he is concerned about. He wants you to get there whole. He wants you to get there with life and health. So many times, even as believers, we'll say, I'm just trying to get there. And we leave carnage and people suffering all along the way because we weren't mindful of the integrity it took to get to the finish line. It's not just about the getting to somewhere. It's about how do we walk that way. And I love the word ponder. Ponder means to stop, to think, and to make a choice. Here's the thing. Oftentimes we live life thinking we don't have a choice in the situation. Stuff is happening and I can't choose. I believe the Father is simply saying to his son, you do have choices. Sometimes they're harder than others. I'm not telling you that they're easy choices, but you always have a choice. Would you ponder the path of your feet? Where are you going? Where are you heading? And who are you heading there with? And would you choose him so that your ways will be sure? so that your path would be sure. That same verse out of Psalm 23:3 that I talked about earlier, where Jesus, the good shepherd, restores our soul. It also says this: He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Oh, you don't have to do it by yourself. See, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are the source of life. They want to walk with you and give you this life that I speak of and overcome the weariness that your soul has begun to take on. Today, I just believe the Holy Spirit is inviting us to take inventory of the source of life and to recalibrate, to make sure that our source is truly the fountain of life, not the fountain of man. And today, would we drink deep of a water that will never make us thirsty again, that won't make us anxious, that won't make us worry, that won't steal our peace? And would we abide with the Spirit of God so that living water would stay abundant in us? Today, if you're weary, there's a source of life that is for you available right now. I'm going to call Pastor Jeremy up, but can I just pray over you wherever you are, online or in this room? Just open your hands in front of you. Father, I just speak to everyone who can hear my voice. Father, I speak to weary hearts. I speak to lifeless places. And I declare that today is a new day, where the source of life can be invited back into its full influence. God, I thank you that you are the fountain of life. And you never stop flowing, but right now we just invite you to manifest yourself in our own lives. Jesus, we drink deep of your living water today. Holy Spirit, would you replenish us, renew us, restore us, that we would walk in the way of life and health, even when the world seems like it's falling apart. I thank you that our life source is alive and well, as are your children. I bless you, Lord, and we thank you in Jesus' name.